Hello and welcome back to Heard and Not Seen, a podcast from Barnardo's. This series is called Making Change, and in it, we're talking about the care system and how change can be made to it on a local level and through government and policy. In the next two episodes, we're going to be in Plymouth, following Project Acorn, a group of care-experienced young people who are working together to find a way to tackle loneliness and isolation amongst their peers. After that, we'll zoom out to look at the care system as a whole, and we'll explore how positive change could be made on a wider scale. We'll also investigate the upcoming independent review of the care system across England, and what else needs to be changed to create better outcomes for the young people involved. Episode 1. The challenge.
It just felt very lonely. It is literally just you, and then you sat at home with your thoughts, and you're just like, what is the point in me being here?
Are you lonely? With 25 million people in England who say they are either occasionally, sometimes, or often lonely, there's a good chance you are. Maybe you're one of the millions more of us who have felt lonely and isolated during the COVID-19 pandemic. But there's a specific group of people in the UK who have felt lonely and isolated long before COVID-19.
So just going into care in the first place, that initial, no matter how old you are, whatever reason, I hear it all the time, all the friends that I've got, all people that I've met, even in different groups, is you go into care, whatever way you've gone into care, that initial you're going into care is the most isolated you'll ever feel. You know what I mean? Because you're like, well, why am I going into care? I've got nobody around me. No, you don't want people knowing that. You know what I mean? Even if you do tell, like, even as a young person, you go to your friends, oh, they're putting me in care, you know what I mean? They don't understand it. So as much as you want somebody to know, they will never sit there unless they've literally experienced it, and then still, sometimes they don't understand your reason and what you're feeling.
Throughout this series of Heard and Not Seen, you will get to know a group of young people whose lived experiences have been defined by a feeling of being isolated from the world. That's because they're care-experienced young people. This is a shorthand term for someone who has spent some or all of their childhood living in the care of their local authority, because they weren't able to live with their parents. Here's Em, a care-experienced young person explaining why care-experienced is preferred to the term care leaver.
Care leaver feels like it's something bad you're leaving behind. Well, with care experience, it is. It's an experience that, although it may have been bad, may have been good, it's changed you and it's made you who you are. And it seems much nicer to kind of acknowledge that than feel like you're leaving it behind, because it has made you who you are today.
The care system is big and complex. And as children and young people navigate their way through it, they will meet many types of adults. Social workers, teachers, independent reviewing officers, nurses, local councils, foster carers, personal advisors. Most of them are nothing short of real-life heroes, fighting to secure the best possible outcomes for the young people they support. However, the care system is not perfect. By the age of 19 to 21, 4 in 10 care-experienced young people are not in education, employment or training, compared to just 1 in 10 of their peers. Project Acorn, the group of care-experienced young people in Plymouth, know firsthand of the problems facing the system. So how does it feel moving through the care system and moving to independent living? Here are Lou and Heavy, telling us about their experiences of turning 18.
My 18th birthday, everything has just changed, like, completely, like, so fast. Because, like, I was a young person and I used to live in foyer. And in literally 24 hours, everything just changed. As soon as I turned 18, all the new roles came up and I couldn't get any chance to get used to it or anything.
They just kind of look at you like, well, you're an adult now, you don't need us. When actually, when you're a care kid and you haven't had that loving environment, you've been passed around from pillar to post, all of the moving and all of the changing, it can unsettle you no matter how old you are. And obviously moving out when you're 18 is unsettling enough, knowing that you've gone from a care home where there's other children and their staff 24/7, and you're going straight into a house where it's just you. in an area that you don't know. The first night I moved in, I had to call the police because somebody was threatening to be stabbed outside my house. And I rang up the staff and I was just like, can I come back tonight? And they was just like, no. And it just felt very lonely. I felt like I was in it in my own because me and my biological mum wasn't talking. And it is literally just you. And then you sat at home with your thoughts and you're just like, what is the point in me being here? And I think care leavers should have that support from transitioning from a care home to independent living, or even from a care home to semi-independent living. There should be that support in place instead of where you're 18 now, you can do it yourself.
According to the Office for National Statistics, there has been a 46% increase in the number of young people aged 20 to 34 living with their parents over the last two decades. The University of Loughborough also found in 2020 that roughly 3.5 million single young adults are currently living in their family home. But what happens if you can't move back home with your parents? If they can't support you to move out, get a car, put down a deposit for a rented flat, secure a guarantor, tide you over between jobs? Not all parents can afford to do this, of course, but many can. What happens when that support isn't there? This is what awaits the 10,000 young people who leave the care system every year in the UK. They don't have parents who can offer the support that many of us take for granted. Ree from Project Acorn is 25. She has a family of her own now and is working towards starting a degree in youth work. She knows firsthand what it's like to turn 18 in the care system and has witnessed the challenges other care experienced people have faced.
When you haven't got your parents to just fall back on, you're on your own. And even if you've got people there and you've got friends, you're still on your own. Like, you're always on your own in your own head. You're always like, well, why did this happen to me? Why did I end up in care? Why did I end up with, like, no support? And it's like, you go for a job and you don't get it. And that's like the end of the world for you, because you're like, well, what am I meant to do now? Because that was all I had. You know what I mean? And then it's like, well, if I didn't get that, or say you're in a job and you lose your job, you're basically out on the streets because you have nobody you can fall back on. Yeah, I mean, there is a lot of the time, obviously, sometimes you have like foster parents or you have somebody else that you can like that can help you. But a lot of us don't. A lot of young people that were in care don't have anybody they can fall back on.
Karen Laird is a Barnardo's youth worker who works alongside the Acorn team. She shares her personal experience as a parent and what differentiated her children's lives from the lives of the young people she supports.
You know, having a stable home, being on an electoral, these kids don't have that when they hit 18. So my kids both had, and we're a working class family, you know, my kids both had their cars, they had banks set up for them before they were 18. You know, they were able to vote as soon as they got to 18. These kids haven't even thought about these things, you know, because they're too busy. It becomes survival. Like I say, from the age of 17, you know, you are going to be moving on. Bottom line is you are not going to be here for much longer, whether that's in a residential or in a foster care placement. So if we think about staying put is great. But if you're in a residential home, which a lot of teenagers find themselves, foster placements tend to break down through the teen years. If they find themselves in residentials, there is no staying put. There is a scheme called Staying Close, but we don't have it here in Plymouth. So literally the clock starts ticking and young people are saying, well, where am I going? Staff come, well, I don't know. We'll have to wait till you get to 18.
So without parents or guardians, what support does a care experienced young person get when it's time to move on to independent living? When a young person turns 18, or sometimes even younger, they leave their foster family or residential care placement and a personal advisor or a PA is appointed to support them. Personal advisors offer emotional and practical support with a transition to independent living up until the age of 25. This could be anything from helping a young person to register with a doctor to supporting them with signing up for an educational course. But realistically, how much can a PA do? And is it enough to meet young people's needs? Well, we asked one. Meet Helen.
Hi, my name's Helen Fox. I'm a personal advisor within the care leavers team in Plymouth. My role as the personal advisor is to work with young people between the ages of 18 and 25.
Helen Fox is a personal advisor for Plymouth City Council, who are partnering with Barnardo's on Project Acorn. She tells us a bit more about the logistics of being a PA and the extent of her workload. Helen talks about a caseload. This is the number of young people she supports at any one time.
Yeah, that's quite difficult to measure. I think the average caseload at the moment that we're looking across the team is, I'm going to say, between 25 and 30. And that has significantly been reduced recently because we've got new PAs in the team, which is brilliant. So it's really hard to measure how much time you spend with someone because it is actually quite young person led. So if your young person is saying, actually, I need support with this, or can I see you about that? Then you're going to look in your diary and you're going to say, right, when can I do this? As soon as possible, how's that going to work? So you're juggling with, this is the stuff that needs to be done at some point. This is the stuff that needs to be done now. So if it's something that's now, you have to prioritise because that young person needs that support at that moment. So it is very much in terms of juggling what comes first. Alongside that, we should be seeing our young people once every 2 months. So if you can imagine you've got 28 young people who you are doing a pathway plan with once every 6 months and that you're trying to see if they would like to see you once every 2 months. Alongside that, you've got your duty responsibilities. So we all have a duty responsibility to be on duty in the office for young people to just literally drop in.
One PA supporting 28 young people. Sound feasible to you? While not everyone has parents who can offer financial support, care experienced young people are clearly at a disadvantage in comparison to the average non-care experienced person, who may be able to live at home after they turn 18. Not everyone has a perfect childhood, but as a non-care leaver, you are probably offered security, networks and a place to call home which care experienced young people do not get. Without that, the world can often feel like a lonely and isolated place. Thankfully, there are some forms of financial and advisory support available to these young people. But we don't think these go far enough. Things like the Care Leavers Grant offer some respite, which care experienced young people can apply for up until the age of 29. It covers things like household items, emergency living expenses, education and training costs, and medical needs. And in 2017, the law changed so that all care experienced young people are now entitled to a PA up until the age of 25, whether they're in education or not. Meet Lou, a care experienced young person in Plymouth. She's explaining what it was like on the run-up to her 18th birthday and the anxiety and the financial challenges she faced when she moved out.
And not knowing where you're going, not knowing where you're going to live, not knowing if you're going to be able to pay rent, not knowing if you're going to be able to keep warm, put food on the table. It is really scary because there was times where I wasn't on Universal Credit and I was literally living off £200 a month. And I think the universal credit system does need a change. I'm lucky enough to be put on the limited capability to work, so I get a considerably amount more than what other people do. But I still think £251 a month for a single person to run a flat is ridiculous. You, fair enough, you get your rent paid for you, but it's over £60 for gas and electric. It's £20 a month for TV licence, water, electric, it soon adds up. And I think that's why a lot of care leavers on Universal Credit don't have a social life because they don't have the funds to do things that they do want to do.
Lou hits on a really important point here, and one that will be central to this series. Not having a stable financial or housing situation as a result of being care experienced can often lead to loneliness and isolation. And it's so easy to see why. If you couldn't afford to see your friends, you would become isolated. If you were forced to choose between socialising and eating, you would feel lonely because satisfying your hunger would naturally come first. Karen from Project Acorn explains more.
So if you think about, again, their non-care experienced peers, they can make mistakes and it not impact on their ability to keep themselves safe. Whereas our care experienced young people, like I say, there's threat of eviction. There's no food on the table. So again, if you're on a limited budget of, say, £50 a week and your friends are all going out and you've been home for 3 weeks, you've not seen a single soul. Do you go to that party or do you buy super noodles and pasta for the week to feed yourself? The minute they then fall short with their bills, they start incurring massive fines. It's just the whole system is not set up to support these young people well.
So how does Project Acorn fit into all of this?
you're all here for the same reason, you've all got the same passion, and that's what we hold on to.
Yeah, I find it quite fun. I just think it's all getting together and creating a project, whether even if it wasn't the project, like what we're doing, just in general, us being together, it's a laugh, it's entertaining. Yeah, you know, I mean, we all have our own reasons of why we're here, even if they're similar, we all have our own reasons of why we're here. We're Care Experience, we're all together, we're reducing social isolation and loneliness by being all here together, you know what I mean? And then we're creating a project to do the same thing. So doing it in real is easier and more helpful to create a project in it, because actually we've all come together pretty easy, and the way we came together is the way we're going to bring other people together. So if it works for us,
yeah.
That was Em and Ree talking about Project Acorn and what they hope to achieve with it. Irit Pollack, a social designer and researcher from the Barnardo's Innovation Lab, who is working on Project Acorn, describes tackling loneliness and isolation as a Trojan horse approach. By dealing with the underlying issue of loneliness first, it could actually be the answer to unlocking a much wider range of challenges for care-experienced young people, and could see massive positive knock-on effects in other aspects of their lives.
So through research that was recently done by Quorum Voice and Plymouth City Council, 30% of care experienced young people in Plymouth at the moment feel lonely always or most of the time. So if you think about that, that's 3 out of 10 people are almost always feeling lonely. And if you're feeling that way, how does that affect your mental health, your physical health? Who do you turn to if you don't have enough to eat, if you don't know how to get that job, if you don't know how to go to college or whatever it is? So it's a fundamental issue, and it's our Trojan horse into how we can get young people into more positive destinations. Rather than saying, we'll just get you into a nice house, we're saying, let's look at that social biome around you, those people that can support you.
Okay, that makes sense. Reduce loneliness and social isolation and solve a whole host of other things. But what exactly is Project Acorn? And how does it plan to address loneliness and isolation? Irit explains.
So Project Acorn is a 2-year co-production program. Our goal is to reduce loneliness and social isolation for care experienced young people in Plymouth. And the way that we're trying to do this is through collaborative working between Barnardo's, Plymouth City Council and local partners. Our goal and what we're able to do as a small team of care experienced young people, children services professionals, youth workers, service designers, is to become a test bed for ways to reduce loneliness and social isolation that can then be embedded within children's social services longer term.
A key part of what Irit is saying is the plan to become a test bed, a place where, by producing a project at the grassroots level, you can quickly see if the concept works at a small scale first, saving everyone time and money. The idea is that young people are experts when it comes to their own experience, and that this expertise should be taken seriously. Project Acorn is all about empowering young people with lived experience to create the solution themselves, hopefully increasing the chance of tackling the root of the problem. If this is correct, and the test is successful, the hope is that the learnings and insight from it can be adopted on a much wider level through changes in policy by the government. So, hopefully you've got a better understanding of what it's like to be a young person exiting the care system and why change is necessary. You should also have a sense of why care-experienced young people feel lonely and cut off from the rest of the world, and why that's going to be a challenge for Project Acorn to solve. In our next episode, we will explore Project Acorn in more depth, why it was created, how it works, how the young people take part, and how they plan to reduce loneliness and social isolation in the care system. Until then, thank you for listening. And make sure you subscribe to our podcast via your favourite podcast provider. Leave us a review and stay tuned to Heard and Not Seen.